This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll take a break. Not take a break. We'll stop now and talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. Mike, I saw somebody texted in that he did ride in a car, Dave. So there you go. So here we go. Mike Dettillier joins us, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. There have been some NFL stuff and NFL stuff going on and Saints stuff while we were all involved with Mardi Gras. How you doing, Mike?
I'm well. Thank you, Tommy.
I saw a picture of you and your grandkids on social media enjoying Mardi Gras in the bayou, and that's what it's all about, huh?
Yeah, it's a great time with them, and you enjoy it while you can. And so, yeah, it was a good time, good time.
And the Saints gave up Jamal Williams for Lent, right?
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you get something and you think you got something, but it's not there. And listen, the man above takes it away from you, your skills, and you don't know when. As a player, as an athlete. And I think his best days were in Detroit, and we never saw that Jamal Williams here in New Orleans. He was a great interview,
I was going to ask you. Do you think that was maybe a little bit of the shiny car with the engine that wasn't so hot? Because he was hot, man, on that Hard Knocks, and he seemed like, man, a guy of fire, but not so much here. Do you think that's played into it at all, Mike? Can they get into somebody's head sometime?
No. I think...
Not into his head. I'm talking about the Saints.
No. I've really seen this before with players. You don't know when it comes to an end. And sometimes it's a lot quicker than you might think as a player. And I think his best days, and he was a touchdown machine in Detroit that final year. Really was. The strange thing was that they went somewhere else almost immediately afterwards. Mm-hmm. Did they maybe start to see that in Jamal?
You're talking about the Kendre Miller draft?
Yeah, and,
choice?
Yeah, and basically he was a non-factor as a player. And they wanted him to be the heavy-duty kind of pounder back. As a compliment to Alvin Kamara. It never happened. Never. They gave him opportunities. Just, it wasn't there. And almost, Tommy, like you could watch him, and that little burst that he had before, it wasn't there. Just wasn't there.
Tim and I were talking earlier, and we were trying to remember Jamal Williams' contribution. And sadly, the only thing I remember from Jamal Williams was the fake touchdown with Jameis Winston, remember? At the end of the previous season, and everything between then and now, I don't have any recollection of a contribution by Jamal Williams. Do you?
He had a decent game against the Cowboys in week two. But other than that, and that touchdown, I can't remember anything that he did, to be honest with you. And so you got to move on. You made a mistake, and it happens. You move on from it. The worst thing is to keep a mistake and force it to work. And I think now with a new coach, he doesn't have to keep those players that someone else did. Doesn't have to.
What does that tell us about Kendre Miller? Can we infer anything from them cutting Jamal Williams?
Only thing I know is they better get a couple of running backs through the draft. Mm-hmm. The one thing I know with Kendra Miller, he's been consistently hurt. Okay? Always out. So you hoping that maybe he can take that talent, which he has. He's a talented guy. But if you're not playing, if you're always, you know, in the tub, you can't help the team. So in this draft, with a lot of running backs, you can get yourself better at that position. And I'm always for a younger back. I think, you know, the speedometer is really quick on them from that standpoint, that their careers, what we've seen with Derrick Henry is unbelievable. That, you know, mm-hmm. over 30 years old, and to produce the way he has and take the hits. Now, he's giving them too, but, man, he's taking a ton of them. That doesn't happen a lot in the National Football League.
I got to believe with Derrick Henry, that's a little bit of just his physiology as well, don't you think?
Genetics.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
And he talks about it all the time that as a 17-year-old, he won the Florida State A 100, 200-meter dash, and he weighed 219 pounds. Mm. Mm. Now, you think about a track sprinter, and he's just a tad under 220 pounds, and it just looked the way he's built. He's 6'3 and a half. And that sort of thing, he is a freak of nature. And that's a genetic deal. You know, that's not a lot of people that can play that good for that long and be built like how he's built.
You've been around athletes all your life, evaluating athletes all your life. People that have been involved in athletics know there are some people that are just manufactured differently. They may not be necessarily big, although Derrick Henry is a large man, but it's like they got steel cables from muscles. You understand? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Mike?
Yeah. The one guy I can kind of compare him to a little bit is John Riggins.
Mm-hmm.
John Riggins had a really good career in his 30s with, you know, the old Washington Redskins. He really did. And so it's amazing because Riggins was a big back with speed, similar to Derrick Henry. But, you know, you think about guys that sort of lost it. As soon as that speedometer hit 30, there ain't a lot of guys that put up big numbers past that age. For Henry to do it, the only other guy I can think of in recent memory that could do it like that was Riggins.
Mike, it's already March 5th in the blink of an eye. It's going to be the NFL draft. Well, I guess free agency before that, right? When's free agency start?
Yes. March 12th,
I think it is.
Next week.
Yeah. So, first of all, free agency dictates what happens in the draft, right? And where are the Saints likely, or with the salary cap, where can they be more active or achieve the most success, free agency or draft, to kind of start turning the team around?
Well, first things first, you got to get under the salary cap limit, and then I think we kind of know where that's going because they sort of tipped their hand last week at the owners, at the combine that they were trying to do a deal, restructure Derek Carr's contract. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically meaning you got him for this year and quite possibly even for next year, depending on how the restructure is. This draft is very good along the defensive line. Tommy, in my top 75, 24 of them are defensive linemen. That's a ton of defensive line. And you need to get better there. You need to get better along the offensive line. And certainly you could add a piece to help you offensively. But with the 9th pick, and then you come around very early again in round 2, I think it's got to be big men here to reshape your team. Now, it might be a big man tight end, like a Tyler Warren, but I need some big guys. I think the Eagles gave you the blueprint on how to do it. Now, the one thing I give the Eagles, they didn't mess up a lot of draft choices. Mm. They hit on most of those selections. And that's part of it with this team. They have not been able to get, in volume, really good players in the early rounds of the draft.
So
that's the difference between what you see in Philly and what you see here.
All right, let me get to an Adam Schefter tweet here. Let me read two of them, and then I'll turn it over to you. October 2024, two teams high on Davante Adams, wish list of places to land. If not at the very top, Jets and Saints per league sources. Adams ideally would like to play with a quarterback he knows. The Jets have former teammate Aaron Rodgers. Saints have former teammate Derek Carr. Flash forward, Aaron Rodgers ain't with the Jets anymore. And then Adam Schefter tweets again, more recently, in addition to Derek Carr, New Orleans, Saints wide receivers coach Keith Williams has also worked with Davante Adams as his personal wide receivers coach. Adams has referred to Williams as one of his mentors. Talk about Davante Adams becoming a Saint. Does that make sense? Can they afford him? Blah, 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 etc.
It would depend on what he wanted financially. I mean, Devontae's made his money.
Well, he's got a Taco Bell in his own house, for God's sake. What else could you
do? He's made a lot of money as a receiver in his business, and it's what are you willing to play for? Mm-hmm. Now, he has also told friends of his that he would prefer to play out west, okay, because he has a home out in Vegas. And so I get that particular part. I think he may wait to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers, because that seemingly, from the quarterback standpoint, would seemingly be another chip to fall. I think in Pittsburgh they're looking more at re-signing Justin Fields than keeping Russell Wilson. What happens in Vegas? Does Pete Carroll go back to his old quarterback,
Russell Wilson?
Or does he go after Aaron Rodgers? It doesn't make any sense with the Giants. But they a team to me. You talk about caught in the middle, because you know that head coach is under immense pressure to win. And he does not have a quarterback. They made an all-out effort to get Matt Stafford, was not able to secure him. Do they make that move toward basically trying to get Aaron Rodgers? Does Aaron want to
play? Wait, you lost me, Mike. Who make the move toward getting Aaron Rodgers? Vegas or the Giants?
Both.
Okay.
I think that it's going to come down to those two and exactly kind of where he falls here with those two particular teams. Neither one of them have good offensive lines. But, you know, one thing about athletes, they never want to leave on a sour note. Mm-hmm. I knew when he left, when they weren't going to make a deal with the Jets, I knew he wasn't going to retire. He was going to try to play some more. It just depends where at this stage of the game.
So let me ask you this.
And I don't need him to be the 25-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I just need him to be efficient. And I thought he was, to a certain extent, toward the end stretch of the season for the Jets. They had other problems. But, there's the quarterbacks that are going to shift this draft class and also shift other players who want to play with that particular quarterback.
So is there any kind of synergy that happens with Derek Carr, with Keith Williams, and with Davante Adams that would make him especially attractive? Let me put it that way.
I think if you outbid...
Magic. I'm looking for magic is what I'm looking for.
Money is the magic, okay? And they can say what they want. They're going to go where they're going to get paid the most, okay? Because your career is sort of short NFL-wise. Mm-hmm. And so I think Davante, it depends on what the Saints would want to pay him. And certainly having somebody that he worked with Derek Carr, but you're not getting the 25-year-old Davante Adams. Okay, because some people say, oh, man, Davante Adams. Yeah, but you're not getting that version of him. You're getting the older version of it.
And for people that are texting in, just to be clear, we're not talking about Devontae Smith here from Alabama who plays with the Eagles. We're talking about Davante Adams, who was released by the Jets, just to clear that up for people that are confused. He's the guy with the Taco Bell in his house, supposedly. Anyway, just so you know, for reference purposes. Mike, let's look ahead. I know you got to go in about 4 minutes. Let's look ahead to the draft. It's funny, or not funny, but somehow it works out where 1 year is particularly strong for one position. I don't know if there's a cause and effect for that. We can talk about that another day. You said defensive line this year. Saints also need running backs. If you were to project a draft today, where do you see him going?
I would say defensive line or tight end.
Okay.
And the guy, when I originally, because Charlie had asked me, he said, do the mock, and so we did it. I actually penciled in Jalen Walker before I did the other eight picks. Mm-hmm. And then I had to change it because I had Jalen Walker going to Carolina, one pick ahead of the Saints. Mm-hmm. So then I went with Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. But I do think, Tommy, that there is quarterbacks sort of trump everything. And I think how the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders fall is going to play a big part in how the big men fall. And I do think that they're going to go defensive line or get them a big man playmaker. And that would be Tyler Warren.
Man, you can't miss. You can't miss on this one, right?
No, you can't. And the thing about it is, in this draft class with so many good defensive linemen, I would double down. I'm always a believer in that, that if you got a strong draft, kind of double down on that. And this team needs a nose tackle. If they're going to go to a 3-4 alignment, which that is what basically has been the talk, then you need a nose tackle, and you don't have one on this team, a true one.
Real quick before I let you go, as far as I understand, unless you've heard something, there's going to be a 2026 season as well. What is the 2026, or I guess it'd be that class, I'm getting ahead of myself with years, but not this year's draft class, the next year's draft class look like particularly strong in what area, and what about quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks is going to be much stronger in 2026. You can see that already, and it'll be a better year. This year is okay. Last year was great offensive line. This year, kind of middle of the road. Defensive line is really better. Next year, it's going to be the swing. It's going to be back to the offensive line and the quarterback position. Also at wide receiver, I think it'll be much better in 2026 than it will be in 2025.
Have you ever noticed a history of teams that can align themselves with what it's a good year for, having more success, if that makes sense?
No, because I think most teams have this idea, and so do I. You can only win a championship in the year you in. Mm-hmm. You worry about 2026 in 2026, but try to align yourself up with the strength of every draft class. And I think that is a big part of winning in this league, of aligning yourself with strengths of the draft and finding the right fit. Tommy, I think sometimes that gets overlooked. You fall in love with a guy because he's big, he's fast, he can jump high, he can lift a lot of weights. Guess what? Can he play football?
Yeah.
Forget to ask that question.
I remember seeing an NFL Films quote. We had a lot of bodybuilders out here. Not a lot of them could play football. Mike Dettelier, thank you as always, sir. Have a great Ash Wednesday. And we'll be listening this afternoon, you and Jeff Nowak on Sports Talk. They're going to preview possible moves for the Saints to get under the salary cap. NFL free agency next week. You heard us talk about that. They'll talk about possible targets for the black and gold. Then LSU baseball, number one in the country. Can the Tigers remain on top? Then at 7, go inside LSU basketball on the Matt McMahon Show. Hang out with Mike, Charlie, Jeff today, 4 till 7 on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Quick break, then we'll talk to J.P. Morrell, Tommy Tucker, WWL. All right, 9:36, 24 till 10. We started this morning, 6 o'clock, Dave Cohen and I. I was saying, I quizzed him and I said penicillin was discovered by, and there was a blank there, and the guy's name was Fleming, but I can remember in fifth grade they were diagramming a sentence, J.P. Morrell. It's amazing the things you remember from school. And the sentence was, penicillin was discovered by serendipity. And like an idiot, I went to my Uncle George's encyclopedia and tried to look up serendipity when I should have gone to the dictionary, which means you're an educated man. Tell me.
By accident. I have no idea.
Serendipity means by accident. I'm sorry. You discovered it by accident. So
you're doing quizzes the day after Mardi Gras.
JP, I've been up since 3:30 walking a dog. So that's the problem here, and I apologize for doing that to you. But here's what I'm getting to. I was on St. Charles Avenue yesterday with New Orleans and Company. Again, thanks to Walt Leger for their outstanding hospitality, as always. And I got to tell you, my friend, I saw the vision of Mardi Gras. There were no tents. There were no ladders. There were few ladders, if any. There were no porta potties. And I'm going to tell you what, everybody I spoke to out there, man, woman, child, black, white, female, male, young, old, thought it was better. And I think that you have, I know you always want to make Mardi Gras better. I think we saw by serendipity, because of the weather, by accident yesterday, what it could be. Thoughts?
I agree. I mean, part of the whole reason why we did the revamp last year, and I'm looking forward to a new administration next year, really having robust enforcement, is that it makes Mardi Gras better when people are not segregated into little mini tents and many houses, and people aren't separated from the route by walls of ladders. And I mean, it's just Mardi Gras that you and I used to go to as kids was like a open air party where everyone intermingled.
Let me jump in. Where were you yesterday?
I was at Gallagher Hall.
What you just described, JP, is what I saw. When there was a break in the parade, and there weren't many, there was line dancing breaking out in the street. People were free to walk about up and down the street, across and back and forth and intermingle. And there were no tents. There was no defined property in quotation marks. And you mentioned segregation. I know that can have a different meaning, but it's just separating people. There was none of that. And I got to tell you, I wish you had been out there with me yesterday. I wish I could have had a film crew with me yesterday, because I would be preaching this like no tomorrow.
Well, I got to walk down Poydras to get there, because, you know, obviously they changed the Zulu route so that it went up Poydras and dispersed at the Superdome. And to your point, walking down Poydras, it was that. You had the adults and children on the street. All the kids, all different, you know, backgrounds, whatever, were all playing on the back street. And it kind of reminded me how it used to be when I was a kid, which is that everybody kind of just, you kind of met your new neighbors during the course of the parade, and everyone just kind of got along. And to your point, like, I meant segregation in the actual dictionary term. But I mean, it's when you look at what Mardi Gras has become, it's become, like, I kind of make that joke, it's become sort of like this weird free party Coachella where everyone kind of pays for their own experience,
right, and
exactly. No one has the same experience because everyone just kind of builds their own little area that they and their family stay in to the exclusion of everybody else. And on one hand, like I said before, it's also a significant safety issue because when I talk to law enforcement, when I talked to EMS, when there were instances where they had to get out there because someone fell down or someone got hurt or someone whatever, they could freely enter and exit the route. And one of the things people kind of complain about is they complain about the fact that the parade stalled for extended period of times during, you know, the course of Mardi Gras. Part of that stall, Tommy, is that when something happens, they have to stop the parade until police, EMS, or fire can get to the scene and fix it. And when you have walls of houses and walls of ladders and people can't get in and off the route, when something does happen, it causes a catastrophic stop in the parade. When you have easy access to and from the route, not just with people, but with those people trying to help people, things get resolved much faster, too, and the parade continues to go.
And I think that happened with Zulu yesterday. There was I think it was Jackson Avenue. Something was turning or something broke. They got it resolved pretty quickly.
Exactly. I mean, it's hard for people sometimes to realize that sometimes when policymakers are doing things, we're doing things for the greater good, and we're making changes. It's not targeted to ruin someone's Mardi Gras because they can't have a tent or they can't have a ladder. It's because we're trying to do what's best for everyone. And that was kind of the idea behind it. It was unfortunate this year that we couldn't do what we wanted to do, but that's why, Tommy, we didn't repeal the law, this Mardi Gras. We kind of just gave NOPD the discretion to deal with the things post January 1st. But it's just one of those things where next year we'll have more education for people who are coming to parades. Hopefully we'll have an administration that actually does sign the contracts with contractors so that we can have all the debris picked up along the route and we can have towing and other enforcement ready to go so that we can all have the Mardi Gras we need.
I was thinking about this last night as I was going to bed, and I'm a little bit passionate about it because I love Mardi Gras, but I had grown to hate it. And yesterday reminded me, JP, of why I had grown to hate it. And it's the damn tents, and it's the damn ladders, and it's the damn tarps, and it's the damn, this is my property. And when JP said segregation, that's the only reason I kind of drilled into it. It has nothing to do with race at all. It's about, this is my house, this is my property, and it's not. It's public ground, and it just, I think it ruins the experience for everybody. I don't know if the roots of this go back to people wanting the best for their kids and thinking they're entitled to this or that or trying to shield or protect their kids. I don't know if it goes back to the creation and development of these tents. Because I did give this some serious thought, JP, and I'm thinking, well, the only thing that changed is they manufactured a tent, and I can remember in the radio days when they first came out, with a logo on it that you could set up. Well, just because they make them, that doesn't mean, much like the little thing where you're sitting there and you poop in a phone booth, that doesn't they made a nylon, that doesn't mean that you have the right or should be able to take it out to the route, right?
Right, and I mean, honestly, it's kind of interesting because if you talk to a lot of locals, people who still want to have that original experience, when you look at parades and where they start, you know, Jefferson, Chapultepec, those narrow streets where you can't have tents and you can't have ladders, if you've ridden in the parade and I had the opportunity to be the Grand Marshal of Allah, there is a definitive twist when you're going down the route, down those smaller streets where people are still just lined up normally, mm-hmm. to when you get to the Napoleons and the St. Charles's and further down the route.
Expand
where
on that.
Those Taj Mahals pop up.
Expand
well,
that.
Because the streets are so narrow on the earlier part of the route, you can't have those tents or those ladders. And you see people intermingling, talking to each other in the street. It's like once you get to the area where there is real estate to claim to create those different opportunities to have tent cities and ladder walls, it is a jarring difference as a rider watching people commingle and be together on the smaller streets when you hit the big ones and it comes very, I want to say, like commercialized to your mm-hmm. point in that because it's so easy to go buy that pop-up poop tent off Amazon or to go buy that quick spring up tent or to get the, I mean, honestly, Tommy, remember back in the day, you had to go to the local hardware store and buy the pieces to build a ladder to put your kids in.
Yep.
I don't know where they're buying these ladders now, but, like, these are not the ladders our parents put together with some screws over the course of a year. They're perfectly manufactured, identical ladders. Seems like they're being built, you know, in mass, probably by somebody at a boutique.
And I don't care who makes them. I don't care where you get them. I just think that somehow, because things have become available, well, then all of a sudden it gets grandfathered in. And it's like, well, yeah, sure, that's right. Set it up on a route. And I think, man, I'm going to tell you what, I think we had a vision of what it could be yesterday. I honestly do. I didn't hear anybody complain about it. And text lines are open at 504-260-1870. If you were on the parade route yesterday on St. Charles Avenue, do you think it was more enjoyable or less enjoyable? I'd love to hear from you. So what would it take politically? And look, there is a little bit of a problem maybe with folding chairs. Maybe you address that somehow. Maybe you don't. It all goes to selfishness. Again, the only reason people used to bring these lawn chairs, the foldable ones with the web and the aluminum. Remember them? They'd bring them and set them
up.
Then they got to the folding chairs in a bag, which are bigger and take up space and are heavier and harder to move and more cumbersome. So that complicates the issue. Again, the tents are available, so all of a sudden people started. You know what, JP? I think we need to take Mardi Gras back, to use a phrase. I hate to say it, but I think we do, and I hate to use that phrase. But I think the council needs to show some leadership, as you have, And I guess that brings me to the politics of it all and what needs to be done starting right now. Because at Kern Studios, they'll tell you, Blaine Kern used to say they start on Ash Wednesday preparing for the next Mardi Gras, right? So what does the council need to do right now in advance of an anticipation of a new administration to try to make some changes that'll stick?
Well, the first thing, in the ordinance, in the laws we changed last year, there's actually a post-Mardi Gras meeting in April. So there will be a meeting like a post-mortem where we talk about those things that worked and didn't work. And I think the conversation will come up as far as like how we move forward on the law that's already on the books. The biggest difference is the council called upon the administration after we passed the law last year to go do the request for proposals or request for qualifications to hire the contractors to do the bulk of the work. Keeping the route clear, picking up stuff that's put out there hours in advance, all that stuff is typically done, Tommy. The 1 year where the administration did it, it's because you hire contractors to keep the route clear. So the first thing is you do the work. That's the easy part, which is when someone sets up Taj Mahal 5 hours early, you tear it down and throw it away. Mm-hmm. So that's just a council with an administration that will work with them hiring the contractor to do that. The same issue with parking is kind of an additional headache for NOPD and the like, as people park their cars in the middle of the street or blocking side streets. Towing's been an issue for years, but getting parks and parkways, getting NOPD that background support so that when there is a tent or obstruction on the route, getting the ability to move it early is huge. The second thing is, now that we have experience with what SEER 1's going to look like, and that'll be part of the conversation in April with NOPD, how can we utilize those additional resources to free up NOPD manpower for enforcement? Because part of the issue is a guy from Parks and Parkways is not equipped to approach a group of chads who are setting up a tent with a keg and a grill and get into it with them. Respond more robustly when NOPD says, take that down and put it away.
We got to take a break.
Versus some guy.
Got to take a break. I'm going to be right back with Cynthia Lee Shang from Jefferson Parish. JP, I'm going to stay with you on this throughout the year because I want to see you change. Back in a flash, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWO, quickly to Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang from Jefferson Parish. First of all, Madam President, kudos. You did the right thing yesterday. I'm totally with you.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you for that.
Now, what's up? What do you got going on?
We have some exciting news, really, really exciting news, obviously, with Argus having to cancel yesterday, and we've been working closely with them, but and working closely with the St. Patrick's Parade. We're going to be able to have Argus on Metairie Road with the St. Patrick's Day Parade on March 16th. So that'll be a one-time historic event. Argus has never ridden on the Metairie Road Parade route, and it'll just be a really exciting event having Mardi Gras meet St. Patrick's Day celebration. So everybody be on the lookout for more information about that. But we want to really thank the St. Patrick's Parade Committee for welcoming the crew of Argus on their day. And we want to finish off our Mardi Gras celebrations and give the crew of Argus riders, their ride. So the sheriff's office has been working with us, Councilman Liljeburg, it's his district. So we've been on the phone a lot, but that's some really exciting news that we were able to announce today. And really, I think it's going to be very popular.
I think it is too, especially going down that route. Do you have any time frame yet, Madam President, or not?
We did, but I think, just with the lineup and everything, I'd rather not. Like, I want to give them,
sure,
the time. So we'll definitely, we have until March 16th. We'll give you more details, but I think it's been some kind of crazy phone calls over the past couple of days, but I want to thank the St. Patrick's Parade Committee for just, being together with this community and welcoming everybody. So,
How about the trucks? Anything on them? Somebody texted in?
The trucks with the crew of, we'll look at the trucks
Elks
for the
crew?
Elks crew of Jefferson's to Irish Italian Parade, yeah.
So, right, so it'd be a different route, but
so
I'm
gonna, we'll announce that. We're talking to them. We've offered them that, so we'll see. We'll make an announcement on that. But we want to work with everybody who lost their ride yesterday.
You did the right thing. It's going to be an awesome day. The only thing now is decent weather that we need, and that's going to be
we need good weather that day.
Yes, on March 16th.
We need good weather that day.
I predict perfect
March
weather
16th.
On March 16th.
Mardi Gras and St. Patrick's Day celebration in a unique, once in a lifetime celebration.
And I am hereby, Cynthia Lee Shang, granting a dispensation to anybody who gave up anything for Lent for that Sunday, March 16th.
Okay. All right. Thank you
for calling in. You bet.
Thank you.
Back in
okay.
a flash,
right.
WWL.
Bye. Thanks.
All right, we'll take a break. Not take a break. We'll stop now and talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. Mike, I saw somebody texted in that he did ride in a car, Dave. So there you go. So here we go. Mike Dettillier joins us, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. There have been some NFL stuff and NFL stuff going on and Saints stuff while we were all involved with Mardi Gras. How you doing, Mike?
I'm well, thank you, Tommy.
I saw a picture of you and your grandkids on social media enjoying Mardi Gras in the bayou, and that's what it's all about, huh?
Yeah, it's a great time with them, and you enjoy it while you can. And so, yeah, it was a good time, good time.
And the Saints gave up Jamal Williams for Lent, right?
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you get something and you think you got something, but it's not there. And, listen, the man above takes it away from you, your skills, and you don't know when. As a player, as an athlete. And I think his best days were in Detroit, and we never saw that Jamal Williams here in New Orleans. He was great interview, a lot of energy.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think that was maybe a little bit of the shiny car with the engine that wasn't so hot? Because he was hot, man, on that Hard Knocks, and he seemed like, man, a guy, a fire, but not so much here. Do you think that's played into it at all, Mike? Can they get into somebody's head sometime?
No. I think...
Not into his head. I'm talking about the Saints.
No. I've really seen this before with players. You don't know when it comes to an end. And sometimes it's a lot quicker than you might think as a player. And I think his best days, and he was a touchdown machine in Detroit that final year. Really was. The strange thing was that they went somewhere else almost immediately afterwards. Mm-hmm. Did they maybe start to see that in Jamal?
You're talking about the Kendre Miller draft?
Yeah, and,
choice?
Yeah, and basically he was a non-factor as a player. And they wanted him to be the heavy-duty kind of pounder back as a compliment to Alvin Kamara. It never happened. Never. They gave him opportunities. Just, it wasn't there. It almost, Tommy, like you could watch him, and that little burst that he had before, it wasn't there. Just wasn't there.
Mike, we were talking earlier, Tim and I were talking earlier, and we were trying to remember Jamal Williams' contribution. And sadly, the only thing I remember from Jamal Williams was the fake touchdown with Jameis Winston, remember? At the end of the previous season, and everything between then and now, I don't have any recollection of a contribution by Jamal Williams. Do you?
He had a decent game against the Cowboys in week 2. But other than that, and that touchdown, I can't remember anything that he did, to be honest with you. And so you got to move on. You made a mistake, and it happens. You move on from it. The worst thing is to keep a mistake and force it to work. And I think now with a new coach, he doesn't have to keep those players that someone else did. Doesn't have to.
What does that tell us about Kendre Miller? Can we infer anything from them cutting Jamal Williams?
Only thing I know is they better get a couple of running backs through the draft. Mm-hmm. The one thing I know with Kendre Miller, he's been consistently hurt. Okay? Always out. So you hoping that maybe he can take that talent, which he has. He's a talented guy. But if you're not playing, if you're always, you know, in the tub, you can't help the team. So in this draft, with a lot of running backs, you can get yourself better at that position. And I'm always for a younger back. I think, you know, the speedometer is really quick on them from that standpoint, that their careers, what we've seen with Derrick Henry is unbelievable. That, you know, mm-hmm. at over 30 years old, and to produce the way he has, and take the hits. Now, he's giving them too, but, man, he's taking a ton of them. That doesn't happen a lot in the National Football League.
I got to believe with Derrick Henry, that's a little bit of just his physiology as well, don't you think?
Genetics.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
And he talks about it all the time that as a 17-year-old, he won the Florida State A 100-200-meter dash, and he weighed 219 pounds. Now, you think about a track sprinter, and he's just a tad under 220 pounds, and you just look the way he's built. He's 6'3 and a half. And that sort of thing, he is a freak of nature. And that's a genetic deal. You know, that's not a lot of people that can play that good for that long and be built like how he's built.
You've been around athletes all your life, evaluating athletes all your life. People that have been involved in athletics know there are some people that are just manufactured differently. They may not be necessarily big, although Derrick Henry is a large man, but it's like they got steel cables for muscles. You understand? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Mike?
Yeah. The one guy I can kind of compare him to a little bit is John Riggins.
Mm-hmm.
John Riggins had a really good career in his 30s with, you know, the old Washington Redskins. He really did. And so it's amazing because Riggins was a big back dude with speed, similar to Derrick Henry. But, you know, you think about guys that sort of lost it. As soon as that speedometer hit 30, there ain't a lot of guys that put up big numbers past that age. For Henry to do it, the only other guy I can think of in recent memory that could do it like that was Riggins.
Mike, it's already March 5th in the blink of an eye. It's going to be the NFL draft. Well, I guess free agency before that, right? When's free agency start?
March 12th, I think it is? Next week.
Yeah. So, first of all, free agency dictates what happens in the draft, right? And where are the Saints likely, or with the salary cap, where can they be more active or achieve the most success, free agency or draft, to kind of start turning the team around?
Well, first things first, you got to get under the salary cap limit, and then I think we kind of know where that's going because they sort of tipped their hand last week at the owners, at the combine that they were trying to do a deal, restructure Derek Carr's contract, and so that's basically meaning you got him for this year and quite possibly even for next year, depending on how the restructure is. This draft is very good along the defensive line. Tommy, in my top 75, 24 of them are defensive linemen. That's a ton of defensive line. And you need to get better there. You need to get better along the offensive line. And certainly you could add a piece to help you offensively. But with the ninth pick, and then you come around very early again in round two, I think it's got to be big men here to reshape your team. Now, it might be a big man tight end like a Tyler Warren, but and I need some big guys. I think the Eagles gave you the blueprint on how to do it. Now, the one thing I give the Eagles, they didn't mess up a lot of draft choices. They hit on most of those selections. And that's part of it with this team. They have not been able to get, in volume, really good players in the early rounds of the draft.
So
that's the difference between what you see in Philly and what you see here.
All right, let me get to an Adam Schefter tweet here. Let me read two of them, and then I'll turn it over to you. October 2024, two teams high on Devontae Adams' wish list of places to land. If not at the very top, Jets and Saints per league sources. Adams ideally would like to play with a quarterback he knows. The Jets have former teammate Aaron Rodgers. Saints have former teammate Derek Carr. Flash forward. Aaron Rodgers ain't with the Jets anymore. And then Adam Schefter tweets again, more recently, in addition to Derek Carr, New Orleans, Saints wide receivers coach Keith Williams has also worked with Devontae Adams as his personal wide receivers coach. Adams has referred to Williams as one of his mentors. Talk about Devontae Adams becoming a Saint. Does that make sense? Can they afford him? Blah, 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 et cetera.
It would depend on what he wanted financially. I mean, Devontae's made his money.
Well, he's got a Taco Bell in his own house, for God's sake. What else could you
do? He's made a lot of money as a receiver in his business, and it's what are you willing to play for? Mm-hmm. Now, he has also told friends of his that he would prefer to play out west. Mm. Okay, because he has a home out in Vegas. And so I get that particular part. I think he may wait to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers, because that seemingly, from the quarterback standpoint, would seemingly be another chip to fall. I think in Pittsburgh, they're looking more at re-signing Justin Fields than keeping Russell Wilson. What happens in Vegas? Does Pete Carroll go back to his old quarterback,
Russell Wilson,
or does he go after Aaron Rodgers? It doesn't make any sense with the Giants. But they are a team to me. You talk about caught in the middle, because you know that head coach is under immense pressure to win. And he does not have a quarterback. They made an all-out effort to get Matt Stafford, was not able to secure him. Do they make that move toward basically trying to get Aaron Rodgers? Does Aaron want to
play? Wait, you lost me, Mike. Who make the move toward getting Aaron Rodgers, Vegas or the Giants?
Both.
Okay.
I think that it's going to come down to those two and exactly kind of where he falls here with those two particular teams. Neither one of them have good offensive lines. But, you know, one thing about athletes, they never want to leave on a sour note. Mm-hmm. I knew when he left, you know, when they weren't going to make a deal with the Jets, I knew he wasn't going to retire. He was going to try to play some more. It just depends where at this stage of the game.
So let me ask you this.
And I don't need him to be the 25-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I just need him to be efficient. And I thought he was, to a certain extent, toward the end stretch of the season for the Jets. They had other problems. But, there's the quarterbacks that are going to shift this draft class and also shift other players who want to play with that particular quarterback.
So is there any kind of synergy that happens with Derek Carr, with Keith Williams, and with Devontae Adams that would make him especially attractive? Let me put it that way.
I think if you outbid...
Magic. I'm looking for magic is what I'm looking for.
Money is the magic, okay? And they can say what they want. They're going to go where they're going to get paid the most, okay? Because your career is sort of short NFL-wise. Mm-hmm. And so I think Devontae, it depends on what the Saints would want to pay him. And certainly having somebody that he worked with Derek Carr, but you're not getting the 25-year-old Devontae Adams. Okay, because some people say, oh, man, Devontae Adams. Yeah, but you're not getting that version of him. You're getting the older version of him.
And for people that are texting in, just to be clear, we're not talking about Devontae Smith here from Alabama who plays with the Eagles. We're talking about Devontae Adams, who was released by the Jets, just to clear that up for people that are confused. He's the guy with the Taco Bell in his house, supposedly. Anyway, just so you know, for reference purposes. Mike, let's look ahead. I know you got to go in about 4 minutes. Let's look ahead to the draft. It's funny, or not funny, but somehow it works out where 1 year is particularly strong for one position. I don't know if there's a cause and effect for that. We can talk about that another day. You said defensive line this year. Saints also need running backs. If you were to project a draft today, where do you see him going?
I would say defensive line or tight end.
Okay.
And the guy,
without originally, because Charlie had asked me, he said, do the mock, and so we did it. I actually penciled in Jalen Walker before I did the other eight picks. Mm-hmm. And then I had to change it because I had Jalen Walker going to Carolina, one pick ahead of the Saints. Mm-hmm. So then I went with Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. But I do think, Tommy, that there is quarterbacks sort of trump everything. And I think how the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders fall is going to play a big part in how the big men fall. And I do think that they're going to go defensive line or get them a big man playmaker. And that would be Tyler Warren.
Man, you can't you can't miss on this one, right?
No, you can't. And the thing about it is, in this draft class with so many good defensive linemen, I would double down. I'm always a believer in that, that if you got a strong draft, kind of double down on that. And this team needs a nose tackle. If they're going to go to a 3-4 alignment, which that is what basically has been the talk, then you need a nose tackle. And you don't have one on this team, a true one.
Real quick before I let you go, as far as I understand, unless you've heard something, there's going to be a 2026 season as well. What is the 2026, or I guess it'd be that class, I'm getting ahead of myself with years, but not this year's draft class, the next year's draft class look like, particularly strong in what area, and what about quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks is going to be much stronger in 2026. You can see that already. And it'll be a better year. This year is okay. Last year was great offensive line. This year, kind of middle of the road. Defensive line is really better. Next year, it's going to be the swing. It's going to be back to the offensive line and the quarterback position. Also at wide receiver, I think it'll be much better in 2026 than it will be in 2025.
Have you ever noticed a history of teams that can align themselves with what it's a good year for, having more success, if that makes sense?
No, because I think most teams have this idea, and so do I. You can only win a championship in the year you're in. Mm-hmm. You worry about 2026 in 2026. But try to align yourself up with the strength of every draft class. And I think that is a big part of winning in this league, of aligning yourself with strengths of the draft and finding the right fit. Tommy, I think sometimes that gets overlooked. You fall in love with a guy because he's big, he's fast, he can jump high, he can lift a lot of weights. Guess what? Can he play football?
Yeah.
Forget to ask that question.
I remember seeing an NFL Films quote, we had a lot of bodybuilders out here, not a lot of them could play football. Mike Dettelier, thank you as always, sir. Have a great Ash Wednesday. And we'll be listening this afternoon, you and Jeff Nowak on Sports Talk. They're going to preview possible moves for the Saints to get under the salary cap. NFL free agency next week. You heard us talk about that. They'll talk about possible targets for the black and gold. Then LSU baseball, number one in the country. Can the Tigers remain on top? Then at 7, go inside LSU basketball on the Matt McMahon Show. Hang out with Mike, Charlie, Jeff today, 4 till 7 on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Quick break, then we'll talk to J.P. Morrell, Tommy Tucker, WWL. All right, 9:36, 24 till 10. We started this morning, 6 o'clock, Dave Cohen and I. I was saying, I quizzed him, and I said penicillin was discovered by, and there was a blank there, and the guy's name was Fleming, but I can remember in fifth grade they were diagramming a sentence, J.P. Morrell. It's amazing the things you remember from school. And the sentence was, penicillin was discovered by serendipity. And like an idiot, I went to my Uncle George's encyclopedia and tried to look up serendipity when I should have gone to the dictionary, which means you're an educated man. Tell me.
I have no idea.
Serendipity means by accident. I'm sorry. You discovered it by accident. So
you're doing quizzes the day after Mardi Gras.
JP, I've been up since 3:30 walking a dog. So that's the problem here, and I apologize for doing that to you. But here's what I'm getting to. I was on St. Charles Avenue yesterday with New Orleans and Company. Again, thanks to Walt Leger for their outstanding hospitality, as always. And I got to tell you, my friend, I saw the vision of Mardi Gras. There were no tents. There were no ladders. There were few ladders, if any. There were no porta potties. And I'm going to tell you what, everybody I spoke to out there, man, woman, child, black, white, female, male, young, old, thought it was better. And I think that you have, I know you always want to make Mardi Gras better. I think we saw by serendipity, because of the weather, by accident yesterday, what it could be. Thoughts?
I agree. I mean, part of the whole reason why we did the revamp last year, and I'm looking forward to a new administration next year, really having robust enforcement, is that it makes Mardi Gras better when people are not segregated into little mini tents and mini houses, and people aren't separated from the route by walls of ladders. And I mean, it's just Mardi Gras that you and I used to go to as kids was like a open air party where everyone intermingled.
Let me jump in. Where were you yesterday?
I was at Gallier Hall.
What you just described, JP, is what I saw. When there was a break in the parade, and there weren't many, there was line dancing breaking out in the street. People were free to walk about up and down the street, across and back and forth and intermingle. And there were no tents. There was no defined property in quotation marks, and you mentioned segregation. I know that can have a different meaning, but it's just separating people. There was none of that. And I got to tell you, I wish you had been out there with me yesterday. I wish I could have had a film crew with me yesterday, because I would be preaching this like no tomorrow.
Well, I got to walk down Poydras to get there, because, you know, obviously they changed the Zulu route so that it went up Poydras and dispersed at the Superdome. And to your point, walking down Poydras, it was that. You had the adults and children on the street. All the kids, all different, you know, backgrounds, whatever, were all playing on the back street. And it kind of reminded me how it used to be when I was a kid, which is that everybody kind of just, you kind of met your new neighbors during the course of the parade, and everyone just kind of got along. And to your point, like, I meant segregation in the actual dictionary term. When you look at what Mardi Gras has become, it's become like, I kind of make that joke, it's become sort of like this weird free party Coachella where everyone kind of pays for their own experience, right, and exactly. No one has the same experience because everyone just kind of builds their own little area that they and their family stay in to the exclusion of everybody else. And on one hand, like I said before, it's also a significant safety issue because when I talk to law enforcement, when I talked to EMS, when there were instances where they had to get out there because someone fell down or someone got hurt or someone whatever, they could freely enter and exit the route. And one of the things people kind of complain about is they complain about the fact that the parade stalled for extended period of times during, you know, the course of Mardi Gras. Part of that stall, Tommy, is that when something happens, they have to stop the parade until police, EMS, or fire can get to the scene and fix it. And when you have walls of houses and walls of ladders and people can't get in and off the route, when something does happen, it causes a catastrophic stop in the parade. When you have easy access to and from the route, not just with people, but with those people trying to help people, things get resolved much faster, too, and the parade continues to go.
And I think that happened with Zulu yesterday. There was I couldn't tell, but I think it was Jackson Avenue. Something was turning or something broke. They got it resolved pretty quickly.
Exactly. I mean, it's hard for people sometimes to realize that sometimes when policymakers are doing things, we're doing things for the greater good, and when we're making changes, it's not targeted to ruin someone's Mardi Gras because they can't have a tent or they can't have a ladder. It's because we're trying to do what's best for everyone. And that was kind of the idea behind it. It was unfortunate this year that we couldn't do what we wanted to do, but that's why, Tommy, we didn't repeal the law this Mardi Gras. We kind of just gave NOPD the discretion to deal with the things post January 1st. But it's just one of those things where next year we'll have more education for people who are coming to parades. Hopefully we'll have an administration that actually does sign the contracts with contractors so that we can have all the debris picked up along the route and we can have towing other enforcement ready to go so that we can all have the Mardi Gras we need.
I was thinking about this last night as I was going to bed, and I'm a little bit passionate about it because I love Mardi Gras, but I had grown to hate it. And yesterday reminded me, JP, of why I had grown to hate it. And it's the damn tents, and it's the damn ladders, and it's the damn tarps, and it's the damn, this is my property. And when JP said segregation, that's the only reason I kind of drilled into it. It has nothing to do with race at all. It's about, this is my house, this is my property, and it's not. It's public ground. And it just, I think it ruins the experience for everybody. I don't know if the roots of this go back to people wanting the best for their kids and thinking they're entitled to this or that or trying to shield or protect their kids. I don't know if it goes back to the creation and development of these tents. Because I did give this some serious thought, JP, and I'm thinking, well, the only thing that changed is they manufactured a tent, and I can remember in the radio days when they first came out, with a logo on it that you could set up. Well, just because they make them, that doesn't mean, much like the little thing where you're sitting there and you poop in a phone booth, that doesn't, they made a nylon, that doesn't mean that you have the right or should be able to take it out to the route, right?
Right, and I mean, honestly, it's kind of interesting because if you talk to a lot of locals, people who still want to have that original experience, when you look at parades and where they start, you know, Jefferson, Chapultepec, those narrow streets where you can't have tents and you can't have ladders, if you've ridden in the parade and I had the opportunity to be the Grand Marshal of Allah, there is a definitive twist when you're going down the route, down those smaller streets where people are still just lined up normally, mm-hmm. to when you get to the Napoleons and the St. Charles's and further down the route.
Expand
where
on that.
Those Taj Mahals pop up.
Expand
well,
that.
Because the streets are so narrow on the earlier part of the route, you can't have those tents or those ladders. And you see people intermingling, talking to each other in the street. It's like once you get to the area where there is real estate to claim to create those different opportunities to have tent cities and ladder walls, it is a jarring difference as a rider watching people commingle and be together on the smaller streets when you hit the big ones and it comes very, I want to say, like commercialized to your mm-hmm. point in that because it's so easy to go buy that pop-up poop tent off Amazon or to go buy that quick spring up tent or to get the, I mean, honestly, Tommy, remember back in the day, you had to go to the local hardware store and buy the pieces to build a ladder to put your kids in.
Yep.
I don't know where they're buying these ladders now, but, like, these are not the ladders our parents put together with some screws over the course of a year. They're perfectly manufactured, identical ladders. Seems like they're being built, you know, in mass, probably by somebody at a boutique.
And I don't care who makes them. I don't care where you get them. I just think that somehow, because things have become available, well, then all of a sudden it gets grandfathered in. And it's like, well, yeah, sure, that's right. Set it up on a route. And I think, man, I'm going to tell you what, I think we had a vision of what it could be yesterday. I honestly do. I didn't hear anybody complain about it. And text lines are open at 504-260-1870. If you were on the parade route yesterday on St. Charles Avenue, do you think it was more enjoyable or less enjoyable? I'd love to hear from you. So what would it take politically? And look, there is a little bit of a problem maybe with folding chairs. Maybe you address that somehow. Maybe you don't. It all goes to selfishness. Again, the only reason people used to bring these lawn chairs, the foldable ones with the web and the aluminum. Remember them? They'd bring them and set them
yep.
up. Then they got to the folding chairs in a bag, which are bigger and take up space and are heavier and harder to move and more cumbersome. So that complicates the issue. Again, the tents are available, so all of a sudden people started. You know what, JP? I think we need to take Mardi Gras back, to use a phrase. I hate to say it, but I think we do, and I hate to use that phrase. But I think the council needs to show some leadership, as you have, and I guess that brings me to the politics of it all. And what needs to be done starting right now? Because at Kern Studios, they'll tell you, Blaine Kern used to say they start on Ash Wednesday preparing for the next Mardi Gras, right? So what does the council need to do right now in advance of an anticipation of a new administration to try to make some changes that'll stick?
Well, for the first thing, in the ordinance, in the laws we changed last year, there's actually a post-Mardi Gras meeting in April. So there will be a meeting like a post-mortem where we talk about those things that worked and didn't work. And I think the conversation will come up as far as like how we move forward on the law that's already on the books. The biggest difference is the council called upon the administration after we passed the law last year to go do the request for proposals or request for qualifications to hire the contractors to do the bulk of the work. Keeping the route clear, picking up stuff that's put out there hours in advance, all that stuff is typically done. Tommy, the 1 year where the administration did it, it's because you hire contractors to keep the route clear. So the first thing is you do the work. That's the easy part, which is when someone sets up Taj Mahal 5 hours early, you tear it down and throw it away. Mm-hmm. So that's just a council with an administration that will work with them hiring the contractor to do that. The same issue with parking is kind of an additional headache for NOPD and the like, as people park their cars in the middle of the street or blocking side streets. Towing's been an issue for years, but getting parks and parkways, getting NOPD that background support so that when there is a tent or obstruction on the route, getting the ability to move it early is huge. The second thing is, now that we have experience with what SEER 1's going to look like, and that'll be part of the conversation in April with NOPD, how can we utilize those additional resources to free up NOPD manpower for enforcement? Because part of the issue is a guy from Parks and Parkways is not equipped to approach a mm-hmm. group of Chads who are setting up a tent with a keg and a grill and get into it with them. Respond more robustly when NOPD says, take that down and put it away.
We got to take a break.
Versus some guy.
Got to take a break. I'm going to be right back with Cynthia Lee Sheng from Jefferson Parish. JP, I'm going to stay with you on this throughout the year because I want to see you change. Back in a flash, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, quickly to Parish President Cynthia Lee Sheng from Jefferson Parish. First of all, Madam President, kudos. You did the right thing yesterday. I'm totally with you.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you for that.
Now, what's up? What do you got going on?
We have some exciting news, really, really exciting news, obviously, with Argus having to cancel yesterday, and we've been working closely with them, but and working closely with the St. Patrick's Parade. We're going to be able to have Argus on Metairie Road with the St. Patrick's Day Parade on March 16th. So that will be a one-time historic event. Argus has never ridden on the Metairie Road Parade route, and it'll just be a really exciting event having Mardi Gras meet St. Patrick's Day celebration. So everybody be on the lookout for more information about that. But we want to really thank the St. Patrick's Parade Committee for welcoming the crew of Argus on their day. And we want to finish off our Mardi Gras celebrations and give the crew of Argus riders, their ride. So the sheriff's office has been working with us, Councilman Lilsberg, it's his district. So we've been on the phone a lot, but that's some really exciting news that we were able to announce today. And really, I think it's going to be very popular.
I think it is too, especially going down that route. Do you have any time frame yet, Madam President, or not?
We did, but I think, just with the lineup and everything, I'd rather not. Like, I want to give them,
sure.
The time. So we'll definitely, we have until March 16th. We'll give you more details, but I think it's been some kind of crazy phone calls over the past couple of days, but I want to thank the St. Patrick's Parade Committee for just, being together with this community and welcoming everybody. So, yeah.
How about the trucks? Anything on them? Somebody texted in?
The trucks with the crew of, we'll look at the trucks
Elks
for the
crew?
Elks crew of Jefferson's to Irish Italian Parade, yeah.
So, right, so it'd be a different route, but
we'll announce that we're talking to them. We've offered them that, so we'll see. We'll make an announcement on that. But we want to work with everybody who lost their ride yesterday.
You did the right thing. It's going to be an awesome day. The only thing now is decent weather that we need, and that's going to be
we need good weather that day.
Yes, on March 16th.
We need good weather that day.
I predict perfect
March
weather
16th.
On March 16th.
Mardi Gras and St. Patrick's Day celebration in a unique, once in a lifetime. Celebration.
And I am hereby, Cynthia Lee Sheng, granting a dispensation to anybody who gave up anything for Lent for that Sunday, March 16th.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for
Tommy.
Calling in. You bet.
Thank you.
Back in
okay.
a flash,
right.
WWL.
Bye. Thanks.